the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by 2 on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bringing it front out, and score! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back. Misiak in front. Here's a score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turvo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much. Yes, we got lots to talk about today. After a nice sweep of the Northern Michigan Wildcats, the Huskies will go into the break on a three-game winning streak. The Huskies winning in overtime Friday night 4-3, and then 3-1 on Saturday night down at the Berry Event Center. And we welcome Coach Sean to the broadcast or to the show here today. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Dirk.
Congratulations on the weekend. A real solid two games, I thought, for Michigan Tech, especially that game down at the Berry Event Center. And you said after the game, you know, that there wasn't a whole lot that was missing from the Huskies' performance. And I agreed with you on that Saturday night performance.
Yeah, a couple things we're, you know, watching on video. Just a couple things, similar scenarios we have to clean up and shore up. But, you know, when we come back, I know we'll have to backtrack a little bit and get back to the basics. We haven't had enough games in, I believe, in the first half to say, okay, this is ingrained, as we would have last year going into the GLI. Okay, this is ingrained by now. We have, you know, 12, 14, 16 games, 18 games, whatever it is in at that time. We're starting to show consistencies. We're starting to show some consistent growth and eliminating the mistake areas that are consistent within the team structure, and then as well figuring out what personnel are capable of doing and how they're growing, and we're feeling good about where we're heading. Like, again, we'll have some setbacks, I'm sure, in the early going as we get into the second half, but I like where we're headed right now.
Well, you talk about chemistry and trying to get certain guys together and seeing if they're working. And you put that line together of Justin Misiak, Tommy Paratino, and Trenton Bliss. And I know chemistry can be fleeting, too. I mean, it can work for a month and then it doesn't work between a group of guys. But so far, I mean, it really is enjoyable to watch all of the lines right now. But that one in particular with Tommy Paratino, Justin Misiak, and Trenton Bliss seems to be really working.
Well, what Justin has given them is a real forechecking presence, a real pursuit, a dog pursuit type of presence. We've gotten goals, a few goals, where Justin has just dogged even a line change situation where he's been the first on the ice and he just creates some pressure for us, and then all of a sudden a turnover results in us getting a puck and going in and scoring or getting a great scoring chance. So, it happened three times on Friday night with him, and twice with Paratino, once on the goal, and another time with Trenton Bliss. So he adds that element right now for that line, which it needed, and there's been some spark there. And we've toyed with it last year. I think we talked, you and I talked a bit about it on air, that we thought it would more complete Justin's game if we could get him in the middle with a little bit, with the puck on his stick a little bit more, and him being able to use his legs a little bit more, and other guys, smart guys playing off him. And we just thought it would bring his game to even another level offensively for us. I wouldn't say that he fought it, but he wasn't as open. You know, his comments a year ago were, "Coach, I never played center before." Now his comments are, I was talking to him before we got on the bus the other day and said, you know, you're doing a great job for us at seven, Missy, or at center. And he said, yeah, I like playing center. I played at some in juniors, and I said, well, wait a minute. He said a year ago, you never played center. Well, I did. I played it for about 20 games when I first went to Austin, and I really liked it. And I like playing center. So he's buying into it. He's enjoying it. He's winning draws. He's doing a lot of good things.
Another guy wanted to talk to you about right away, Coach. And do the hockey gods, are they just not smiling down at TJ Poglase because he rung another one off the crossbar? He's such a great energy guy, and he makes really good plays and finds himself in great scoring opportunities. And what a tremendous shot! He beat the goaltender clean. I just feel bad he has not been able to bury that first one yet.
He will, but you see that we respect his effort and his what he brings to the bench and what he brings, you know, the energy he brings and his maturity. We respect that enough that we still play him, you know, with what you're saying. Now, the biggest thing I've said before with TJ, and I've talked to TJ about this as well, is his offense comes primarily on the rush. Now, on this particular play, it was a mini rush. It was a quick little turnover. I believe it was Bretschmann, I'm not sure, got him the puck. It might have been Crespi. And then he just got it and a quick little two strides and off the crossbar. But when he starts consistently being involved in offensive zone plays, offensive zone offense, rotations, jam plays at the net, quick little plays, scissor plays, you know, different types of inside-outside plays, when he starts getting involved in those in offensive zone play and not just rush offense type things or quick turnover type things, that's when, you know, increased opportunity will happen. Right now, his opportunities come off of just tremendous energy where they work, they create a turnover of some kind at some place and turn it into a very quick chance. So when he gets that down, and he's working at it hard and getting better at it all the time, some points will start coming for him. He'll be a 10-12 point guy for us.
Coach, so I often don't notice some of the big pictures when I'm watching a game, as far as what's going on the ice. I'm very...
Join the club.
Well, but I'm to a fault. But for some reason, this weekend and maybe Saturday night even more, it seemed like the guys really bought into the fact is you've got to get off the ice before you get tired. And correct me, did it seem like we did a better job than we have done in past with
absolutely.
That over the weekend?
We're focusing on in the second period, even, you know, short, you know, we have a shift length that we want to stay under. In the second periods, we want to focus on keeping it under that by about 10-15 seconds. And the reason being is because it's going to naturally extend more if you are in the offensive zone play and you lose track of time and you have some offense going. And then all of a sudden you don't seem to get really tired where you have no legs until you're on the back check and they're coming the other way. And then we're caught. Or you're stuck in our defensive zone. We're trying to focus on shortening our shift lengths. The first periods have been very good for us this year. Second periods is where we have struggled, and we've hopefully turned the corner to some degree on that, with focusing primarily on our shift length time. And that's been carrying over into the third period in some games, and I think we're working through that a bit again. Like the third period the other night wasn't, you know, we didn't give up much in the third period where they came back and got two goals, and it was, you know, it was basically, there wasn't a ton of dissimilarities between the two games in total honesty. They got a penalty shot goal, to make it 3-2, and then they got a goal with the goaltender out. You know, and they played 3.5-4 minutes last night with the goaltender out. They didn't get anything really going on that time. They had good possession, but we were doing a great job of protecting critical ice. But they got a bounce off the referee's skate that went out directly to the front of the net to a guy standing there when we were trying a D-to-D pass and scored, and that tied the game. So the games weren't that much different. The results seemed a lot different, but we certainly generated more offense in a variety of different ways on Saturday night consistently. But overall, the games were somewhat similar, in my opinion.
You brought up Jake Crespi at the end of in the post game of Saturday night's game, and you know, again, talk about what you're really liking about him right now, Coach.
Well, there's a few guys, not just Jake. Jake right now seems to be figuring out, and we've always said that he's got the ability, and again, his chances that he was getting in the past and early in this year were coming on the rush. We're coming where he would get his legs involved, and it was primarily just him. Now he's forcing systematic he's forcing his will systematically in the game, where he's using his legs to back pressure and to seal plays and to create turnovers and to be able to be in position for you know, wedge type structures for us and do different things that give us a consistent pattern of transition. And he's starting to figure out what he can do within those patterns. And that's creating offensive zone scoring opportunities, rush opportunities, neutral zone counter opportunities. It's creating opportunities in every way that he can possibly do that. Very close to, if not, I mean, I think we need to start working him in on the power play as well, because he does see the ice, he does have a good shot, he does have good legs, and now that he's starting to hound pucks and create second chances for us 5-on-5 in the offensive zone, on the power play, that'll only multiply, because he'll have that much, just that little bit more room to get that separation and make plays. So he's turning into a much more complete player for us, and with that, his role is elevating, and we're starting to use him on extra shifts with other guys when we're trying to go for momentum changes. So he's done a great job. Another player I want to make sure I add, two players in particular, I think that Tyrell Buckley and Chris Leip have been absolutely lights out for four games straight. They've been great. Buckley has now gone into, he's leading our team in plus minus at a plus five, and that's a good rating through eight hockey games. So Tyrell has done and these are two guys that have worked at, you know, Leiper got a lot more time last year, obviously, especially in the first half. He kind of faded a bit for us in his freshman year in the second half. Bucks has not gotten the same amount of ice time, the same opportunity. And it's just been some subtle changes in him, because everybody on the staff pulls for him so hard, because he's such a, first of all, an incredible person that brings such an incredible work ethic, like TJ Poglis. These guys are emerging from being not unsung heroes to being true heroes within our team, because their defending has been absolutely incredible. And you know, look at Leiper the other day. He's up on a 2-on-1, and Blitzer tries to send him a pass back door that just got out of his reach, and he's up on another quick play, a cycle play behind the net, and jumping up and got a great shot from right inside the hash marks, and then retreated. So I can't say enough for our entire defensive core, their growth and emergence, but certainly for those two players.
Coach, the special teams, you look at the penalty kill at 95%, right up towards the top in the nation right now, only giving up one goal. The power play chug along, right, you know, over 13% right now. Haven't had a whole lot of opportunities with that. How much weight do you put on the special teams this early in the season?
I think that that Dallas and Brooksy have done a great job on our penalty kill. We're I guess second statistically, but we're not second. There's several teams that have played one game, two games, things like that are at 100% on the penalty kill. We played eight games and we're at 95. We've given up one power play goal against, I believe, and that was on against Mankato on kind of a odd play on a rush where we forced a loose puck and two guys started to go after it, and each of them thought the other guy was going to get it, if you recall, in the second period of game two, and it was right about the top of circle hash mark area, and they got it and shot the puck, shot it in, and that's the only one we've given up. So they've been tight. There's a lot of help on clears. I think Dallas and Chris have done a great job in really spending extra time with that group, studying it in the summer. That was an area that had to and has gotten a lot better for us. It's going to be pivotal going forward. So we don't take a ton of penalties as it is, as a rule. We've had 2 5-minute majors in there. Let's make sure we make note of that as well, where we haven't allowed a goal in those 5-minute majors, full 5-minute majors against Mankato, a top power play. So that's been good. I think our power play has been good as well. We aren't getting a ton of opportunities on the power play as well. We are getting scoring chances. I think we had 4 tremendous scoring chances, and we could have been better on the 5-on-3 the other night. We had about 40 seconds of 5-on-3, and I thought we took the easy shot when we had opportunities to create some chances where we could get that box to move, that goaltending box to move, and make him make a save while he's moving. We tried that on one or two occasions, and O'Brien Hallinan missed it. missed a one-timer on one instance. But we took some direct shots and looked for rebound opportunities, which is fine as well. There's times where we're doing that. So I think our power play is getting zone offense. It's not like we're not getting in the zone. Our breakouts are crisp. They're clean. And the thing that I'm encouraged about is the teams that we've played. Lake State right now, I believe, is undefeated in, I don't know, 6-7 games. They were one of our opponents. Mankato, obviously, I believe number seven, I think, in one of the polls today. They're, you know, we've played them. Bemidji, who's a preseason second team, the second place finish, could challenge for the league title. Lost two overtime games, I think, or two 1-goal games anyways. One was a shootout, I believe, which is a tie game going down in the books. So, we played them, and then Northern Michigan is a team picked by some in the top four of our league. So the teams we've played have been quality teams, and we've come out over 500, which is what I think is a good accomplishment, winning our last three. So we're trending in the right direction.
Yeah, Logan Ganey's been out with an upper body injury, Coach, and you know he was playing, I thought, pretty good before he went out. And looking at the way this lineup is playing right now, and I know we have a couple of weeks off here and things can change, but I mean, might be tough for him trying to get back into the lineup, which is a good thing.
It is a good thing. It's you know, there's people that want to play. There's people, I'm sure, that, well, there's people that aren't happy. They have to be not happy that they're not getting the ice time that they want to play. There's people that are playing that wish they'd be being more productive. You never want, none of us want to stay status quo and stay we don't want to be comfortable. We also don't want to, you know, intimidate guys to the point where they're not continuing to grow. We don't want guys to ever think that there's no light at the end of the tunnel if they do grow. And we have enough examples in our history on how we do things here, with the emergence of a Ray Bryce in the past, with the same TJ Poglace gets, with the emergence of Tyrell Buckley, with how the growth in ice time and things that Tyler Rockwell, after not playing his first year, has gotten. You know, there's continued examples of we're just looking for productivity. You know, we love you all. There's not personal agendas within decisions, no matter how much any of us may think there are, and there certainly is. We certainly have built in, you know, if you want to say bias or whatever, that we have to overcome as coaches. That's a natural thing that goes on. And we have to say over time, sometimes it takes maybe a little too long for coaches to say that. You know, he's really growing. Let's give him more of a chance. Let's give him a chance to expand. Maybe at times we're not quick enough to do that. But I do think that our history of how we've treated our players shows that ultimately the players that, you know, there is good growth. And not only that, your role and ice time will increase as your growth and contribution increases.
All right, Coach, hang tight. We'll take a quick timeout. More of the Joe Schaan Hour coming your way in just a moment. The Joe Schaan Hour continuing right after these.
This is Sarah. Leave a message.
Hey, Sarah, I wanted to catch you before you left. Don't come to our house for the party. There's been a change in plans. We got into some twisted tea, hard iced teas, and one thing led to another. And now we're at the billionaire's house, baby. Yes, the one with the airstrip. Look, the password at the gate is lobster. You gotta get here. Whoa, that's a llama.
Twisted tea. Keep it twisted. Please drink responsibly.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Trivo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Trivo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Ulta Beauty is bringing even more joy to your holiday season with perfect gifts for everyone on your list, even you. Because Holiday Beauty Blitz is happening right now with weekly deals of up to 50% off products from brands like Tarte, Kylie, Benefit, and Pattern. Plus, we've made shopping the way you want even easier with buy online, pick up in store. The holidays are here. Let's see the joy all season long. Ulta Beauty. The possibilities are beautiful.
Just close your eyes.
Boo, you already got me an iPhone SE from Cricut.
Okay, open. A caribou.
It's a reindeer deer.
In North America, it's called a caribou, Boo.
No way.
Well, I love my new iPhone SE and my new caribou. What's her name?
It's, Carrie Boo.
Get the iPhone SE for $49.99 when you switch. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Ends 1-7-21. Excludes upgrades and AT&T ports. Limit 2 phones per customer. Activation fee $25 per line and additional one-time fees. $4 customer assistance fee may apply, subject to change.
Wildcats with control inside of their own end. Newhouse now will start it from behind his own goal. Backhands it up, but the Huskies able to hold it down. Chance now for Bliss. Bliss coming down. Looks in front. Makes a play. Right through the legs. Scores! Bliss with the play. Down in behind. Goaltender Kenty slid it between the legs. And tapping it home, I believe, was Tommy Perrottino. And the Huskies take a 1-0 lead. Gontuz will get the assist. Here's Mantle coming down. His shot, and he scores! Mantle with the goal for the Huskies. His second of his career, second of the season. And the Huskies come right back with a go-ahead goal with 13:55 remaining. The Wildcats now with Newhouse. Will turn it over. Newhouse looking. And Huskies get it back for Bliss. Quick shot. Tipped in front. Scores! Trenton Bliss will get the goal. Was redirected in front and went past goaltender Kent, who was defenseless on that play. Huskies get the biggest lead of the game right now, 3-1. Bringing it up now. This is DeMay coming down on Pietola. Makes a move, scores! What a move by DeMay, and a penalty shot goal pulls the Northern Michigan Wildcats within one. Huskies lead by one. Northern gets it in deep. Watch out, right to the front of the goal! A shot, they score! Terrible break for the Huskies as it ricocheted off the corner boards or the backboards. It came right out front. They tie it up with 8.1 remaining.
Well, that led us to overtime on a Friday night and kind of a tough situation in that third period. The Huskies had a 3-1 lead. They got called on a penalty that turned into a penalty shot and the penalty shot goal by Vincent DeMay. And then, of course, the redirect right in front of goaltender Pietola with 8.1 seconds remaining. That sent it into overtime, but the Huskies were able to bury it.
Back is Sawyer. He's dead tired. And Hallinen muscling it out of the zone. The Huskies come back now. Cross the line. Trenton Bliss shoots. Safe rebound. Play made. And the Huskies score! Oh, yes! Hallinen did it! And the Huskies win it in overtime. 4-3 over the Northern Michigan Wildcats with a 1:55 left in the extra period.
Well, roller coaster of emotions just listening to some of those playbacks there, Coach. I mean, that third period was tough, and then but to come back and get that big goal in the overtime, and boy, he shows the strength and tenacity that Brian Hallinen has to stick with it, along with Trenton Bliss and Colin Swire involved in that play.
Yeah, I think there were two good hockey games overall. Northern Michigan, Grant does an extremely good job there with his staff, Byron and Robbie. They do a really, really good job there. In complete fairness to them, that was their second and third games of the year, and they played Ferris on Wednesday night. They were playing 3-4. And if you go back a little bit to where we were against Mankato, and how on the second game Mankato was able to kind of handle us in a lot of ways. Northern Michigan's a quality team. This is going to be a learning experience for them, a growth experience for them, and we're very, very happy to come out with the win this weekend. And I was really proud of the way our guys pushed back in that overtime. We had, I believe, 4 scoring chances. We had good puck control. Good possession. Our skill level was good in that overtime, and finally it ended up in us getting a goal.
You know, many of their players impressed us, and I know, but one that really kind of stood out for me was the transfer from Ohio State and Vanderbeck. I thought he played really well both games.
Yeah, they've done a good job with transfers. DeMay's a transfer who got the penalty shot goal. Vanderbeck, I think, scored each night, or DeMay scored each night. For them, they have a lot of good. Van Unen's a good player. Nienhaus is a good player. They have a lot of good players. They were minus a couple of pivotal D on Saturday night's game. Gantz, their big freshman, got hurt. Big freshman played in Green Bay for Pat Mikisch a year ago. Got hurt, I believe, in Friday's game. I know that he got hurt, and that's probably why he didn't play. And then their most physical D, Hank Sorensen, a big kid who played in Waterloo. He was hurt. I believe he's the one that got hurt second period or so earlier in the game anyways in front of their bench. I believe he missed a hit and one of our guys went in hard to the boards and awkward. So They were minus a couple of their regular defensemen, and I think that played in a little bit to Saturday night's game as well.
Well, it was a big win on Saturday night, Coach. I mean, playing so well down there, five straight now at the Barrie Events Center, and you know that's a place that you know we have had our struggles with, and And I could tell just from what you said during the post game that you just feel that even though we do have the size now, to be able to see the guys with that size still be able to cover the big ice sheet and stay in their positions and do what they have to do was a huge step forward.
It's vital because Northern Michigan's a team that's built for that ice. As you see, they're not the biggest team, but they are extremely quick. And highly skilled, much like a lot of Hockey East teams out of the Eastern region, just highly skilled and they skate. And so you have to be able to keep up with their pace because with that skating, as you saw, the majority of their scoring chances, I would say about probably nearly 70% on the weekend were on rush offense. So they jump their D up in the play, and if you can't keep up with that play and stay above that play, they're good. They turn those. Very few didn't turn into scoring chances, very much like Arizona State a year ago. We said how good they were in transition offense, and then they beat us the first night with, I believe, four transition offense goals. Northern Michigan's the same way. They get that chance in the zone, and they find a guy late, early, whenever it is, they find a guy and get that grade A scoring chance. So our guys being able to keep up with that was good, and especially, you know, obviously a guy like Crespi can do that well, but, you know, the any question mark on Bantle's skating, if there was a question mark on Carson Bantle by the NHL people, it was his overall skating, and he's showing that that's no issue at all. He's a little gangly, a little lanky, which guys, as he gets his increased strength in his glutes and his lower back and his quads, as his core builds strength wise and he works so hard at it, you see the effort he puts in on the ice, he puts that same effort in off the ice, as that builds, his that gangliness is going to turn to sheer power, and then when he's not knocked off pucks as easily, because he engages tremendously, I mean he competes hard on that puck, when he's winning, you know, more 60-70-80% of those battles, he's going to put up a lot of points, and I doubt he'll be a four-year player for us, and that's absolutely fine. We're sure enjoying him while he's here.
Yeah, you talk about him, Coach. You get a chance to see him every day in practice. We don't get to see him as often as you do, and I really noticed how good he is at so many things, but maneuvering with his stick. I mean, there's a couple things that come to mind where there was a bit of a home run pass from deep in our zone out to center ice, and it wasn't anything that was going to get behind the defense, but he was tied up. He was shoulder to shoulder with a guy, and yet he was able to be so nimble and get that puck away from the defender and put it in a spot where either he or his fellow line mate could get to it. And I thought, man, you know, there's not too many guys that are true freshmen that can figure that out already. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, even from a fan's point of view, there's so many things that you can see he is able to do, and obviously will build on that quickly as a player at this level.
Oh, he's growing. You know, you saw him getting chances early. You knew it was only a matter of time. He gets three or four just incredible grade A's every single game. Now those are starting to go in for him. He scored 20 plus last year in the USHL. He's a tremendous, tremendous prospect. As good as any freshman, I would have to say, in our league. As impactive right now for us as probably any freshman in the country is on any team. Michigan does have a crew of five or six first round draft picks on their team, tremendous freshmen, and Johnson and those guys, Bortolo, but Carson Bantle fits in on any team. Would fit in on any team. He's a great asset to us. And you know, there's in practice, there's not a tremendous amount of difference between he and Arvid Katerov. The difference is in the games. Carson's found a way to bring it more to the games right now. And Arvid is starting to. He got his first point on Saturday night. He's got the same work ethic as you see. He skates well for a big 6'4", 6'5" guy. And those two guys are going to be very fun for people to watch in the next few years.
Absolutely, and you talk about that great assist that Arvid had on Saturday night.
Katerov now, looking back at Buckley. Katerov sends it over, a chance, a shot, scores! Oh, what a shot by Helenin! His their second goal of the weekend on a great pass by Kataroff. And the Huskies get their second of the game. They lead it 2-0 with 15:59 left in the third.
A big goal right there, Coach. That turned out to be the game winner. Was in the third period after a whole second period without any scoring. Can you break down what happened on that goal that turned into that great shot from Brian Hallinan?
Well, it was from offensive zone possession, second chance opportunity, and Arvid was able to get separation through the seam and turn the corner, and he initially attacked the net, which is what you want to do, and he collapsed coverage, which means that they're as he was attacking the net, guys are trying to get in there and prevent him from having access to the net, and that opened up a seam crossed just inside the far dot, between the hash mark and the far dot to Brian Hallinan, and Arvid kind of looked off the shot and fed it across. And Brian, on his strong side, caught it, cupped it, and shot it pretty much in one motion. Brian's going to get chances. I was talking to Jamie Phillips about it the other day. Brian's going to score goals as he learns to hit the net. You know, we talk about that. But he gets chances. He gets shots. And, you know, you hear, I was watching Scoring Chances yesterday, and you said, you know, you could Hallinan with the shot wide of the net, and you could just hear it echoing off the glass. He's got an absolute cannon for a shot, a hard release or a quick release. As he dials that in, I mean, he should be shooting 50 pucks, 100 pucks a day, year round. And as he from getting passes from every different angle, like much like Brendan Shanahan used to do, just shot after shot after shot after shot, because he gets the shots. And another thing, he should never be passing up a shot. When Brian Hallinan gets a shot and a look at the net, it should be going at the net. He shouldn't be trying to make plays, because he's got a quick release and a very hard, accurate shot.
You bring that up, and I wasn't going to bring this up, but were there some times on Saturday night where we maybe tried to get a little too cute on some of our passing, Coach?
Yes and no. There's a different. Yeah, we were saying that. We were talking about that and telling the guys be less selfish. Or more selfish, I mean, be more selfish and don't pass up some of these shots. Let's start trying to get some rebound opportunities. You know, those will put pucks in the net as well. But there's another philosophy to it too with goaltending nowadays. And if a goaltender's hot, to move that goaltending, make that goaltender move for a shot. We've talked about this before. In the NHL, and we're one level below that, or maybe two levels. Some guys go directly to the NHL, but primarily us, American League Hockey, then the National Hockey League. But there's a philosophy on goaltenders at the NHL level on a direct shot, which means when they're set and they see the shot, and they're completely set, that they're, you know, 92 to 96, 97%, something like that, 96%. It's when they have to move or play cuts from below the goal line, and they, like in Hallinan's shot, the pass across from Arvid to Hallinan in that shot. 92% to 95, let's say, on Bantle's shot that went in between the wickets, if you remember on Friday night,
right,
our second goal. But Hallinan's shot, it goes down to about 85 to 87, 88% on goalie save percentage on those scoring chances. So moving that box, when you have a chance, if you can get the puck on net, results in more goals. The thing is, you got to connect on those passes and don't pass them. Try to pass them to covered guys. That's really what our point of emphasis was.
Well, the Huskies get the win on Saturday night by a score of 3-1, and it was nice to see that first goal went in there for Alec Bretzman, his second of the season. You had talked about before the game how important it was to get him going.
Bretzman coming back for the Huskies. Settles it down. Shot scores! Oh, Bretzman with a great goal! Off the post and in on the right side. He beat goaltender Reichman, and Reichman, and the Huskies take the lead 1-0 with 7:05 left to go in the first.
Well, big goal right there for him and for the team, obviously. And he just has one of the best wrist shots I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's good. And the thing with Botts, the big thing is, I think he feels pressure, with the letter being on him that he has to perform. And performance often to hockey players, especially forwards, is putting up numbers. So I think that pressure has been with him where, and again, it's a harsh word to say, but I'll just say that he's slanted towards the offensive side of the puck. And really, his game is the thing that impressed impressed us so much about him. And I know when I talked to a good friend of mine, Walt Kyle, back when we were recruiting him and committed him, the thing that we liked about him and what the NHL people like about him is that he does the little things so well. Like when he has to get the puck in, he gets the puck in. And he doesn't force passes. He'll use his size and strength to create his time and space and things like that. I think earlier in the year, he was getting a little bit away from that, which is his strength, which is his attention to detail, and he was going for that quick offense. That's why I said on the goal that he got last week, I was a little bit concerned in the fact that he pulled, and I believe it was Sawyer fed him for a breakaway. It might not have been, but I think it was Sawyer.
No, it was.
And he fed him for a breakaway, and he was doing a little bit of what's concerned us a bit is taking off and trying to get that easy offense. Now, maybe that just broke helped his confidence a little bit, because this weekend he was very good, and actually the coaches picked him as our player of the game. We thought he gave us great minutes on the power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5, every aspect of the game. He battled hard, he moved his feet. He made simple plays, scored a goal for us, and did a lot of the little things that we need him to do. So he earned that, and one thing he never has to worry about his team not believing that he's a driving force on the leadership side.
All right, we'll take a short break. We'll be back with more on the Huskies and the Wildcats, and we'll get to start getting to your questions too. If you're listening on Monday morning here, you still have time, but do it quick. DJ at themix93.com. The Joe Schon Hour continuing right after these.
If your job situation is changing because of layoffs or closures, you may have to make several decisions. One important decision may be what to do with your retirement plan. Make sure your retirement stays on track. We're nearing the end of 2020, but you've still got time to make some year-end financial moves. I'm John Nelson, a certified financial planner with Edward Jones. I'd like to help. Give me a call at 482-8680. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Once upon a time, in a house not far from here, there lived a woman filled with holiday cheer. She was known for being the host with the most, with plenty of Coca-Cola for a holiday toast. This year, she knew there wouldn't be a crowd, but she got an idea, and she said it out loud. If I can't toast them in person, I'll send them a Coke. I'll share some cheer with my favorite folk. But at her doorstep, she was caught off guard. Her friends had sent a gift, including a card. So she reached inside and read the letter. Have a Coke, old friend, because together, tastes better.
This holiday season, make sure you take time to say thank you to the people who've been there for you this year. And what better way to do that than sharing an ice-cold Coke? So take a moment to share a Coke with a family member, friend, a nurse, or maybe a neighbor. Because sharing things brings us together. And no matter where we are or how we connect, we know together tastes better.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images invites you to join Husky Deals. When you join us on Husky Deals, you'll receive exclusive information about our upcoming promotions, sales, and events. Send your preferred email address to campusstore@mtu.edu, and we'll add you promptly. Stop by today or visit us online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Husky Deals from the Campus Store and University Images. Don't miss out. Join today. Thank you for your patronage, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Get the clear. Bliss not able to get it out. Held in at the point. Chance for the Wildcats coming down in front of the net. Walking right in. A shot! And what a save made there by Piala. It's underneath them. They don't know. No, the puck is loose. Piala trying to get back up. It's behind the net. He lost his goaltender stick. And the Wildcats get control. And he covers up with the blocker glove for the whistle. Oh, the Wildcats had their opportunity there to tie it up. And Blake Piala says, no, I'm the goaltender of the week.
Well, Blake Piala had another couple of really good games in net for Michigan Tech, and the Huskies have a great tandem of goaltenders right now. Actually, three really good goaltenders, but two that have been playing. And, Coach, what can you say about Blake Piala this past weekend?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that brings in the growth aspect of our game. I think he's made it very difficult not to play him. He's made us so much better. His numbers are off the charts. And his performance has earned those numbers. He hasn't done it against against any easy opponents in any easy environments. He's won on the road at Bemidji, which I don't think we've done since we eliminated them a couple years ago from the playoffs. He beat Mankato, which we haven't done in a couple of years. He did it twice against Northern Michigan, our arch rivals. So it hasn't been easy, and he didn't even play the first weekend because we got such great goaltending out of Mark Sinclair. But I want to make mention of one thing, which talks about character of people. First of all, Blake has earned it. He's done a great job. But you look back, now you look at Mark, who came here. Now, our recruiting tactic for Mark was that, okay, Mark, you're coming in. We have a wide open slate. Our Hobie Baker candidate is gone. We have a freshman coming in from the North American League, and we have a sophomore returning for a freshman last year, sophomore that played just a handful of games and is not established as a college goaltender. And this is a kid that came in and put up a year last year that was good enough to be an all-league type player in our league. And that competition, first of all, Blake could have gone sour and said, hey, it's my turn. I'm entitled to this, which he didn't. He worked hard. He's quiet. His incredible work ethic in the young man. And Mark came in, gave us a great first effort, went in, had a so-so, not his fault, outing at Bemidji. And Blake got back in and went back with Blake, and he's absolutely shut the door. And Mark continues to work his tail off to get back in the net. So that's championship culture. I've enjoyed these guys. It's decisions are tough. They keep us up at night because we love these kids like our own kids. We love these men like they're our own kids. All of you guys, you included, Dirk, we're all family, and we care deeply about them, their emotional and mental state, as well as what they do to offer the team. We, on the ice, we have to put the team needs first, always. But you also have to put the personal needs and make sure that that these guys know that, hey, you know, we're pulling for you when you get the chance, but we can't just gift anybody anything. When you get into athletics, everything has to be earned. And, you know, that's why I try to surround myself with a great staff, including adding Jamie Phillips and having Tyler around here and the people we have around that we can hash things out and say, okay, where are we at with these guys? Let's all get our heads together and make sure we're making the right decisions here.
All right, Coach, we don't have a ton of time, so let's get to some of the questions that have been coming in. And here's your first question. When selecting a lineup for your games on the big sheet of ice, like at Northern Michigan, do you have players whose game or skill set is more suited for the larger ice surfaces?
Oh, well, absolutely. But we don't put it together that way. We want to always have, but we do pick our lineup that way. As a matter of fact, this weekend we had a defenseman that was bumped up a little bit during the weekend practice, and our intent, regardless of that, was to play the extra D at home on Friday and then go with the extra forward on Saturday, which fit in well to what we did because that extra forward gave us more energy. And we feel that we have a couple D that can log a lot of ice time. You got a guy that people don't realize. Chris Leip could play the entire game. Like, he's an effortless skater that doesn't waste a ton of energy and still plays physical. So we have some D that can log minutes. So we were okay with that side of it. And wanted to go the extra forward and get those extra legs, those extra fast legs on the ice. So we went with Pogge on Saturday at Northern.
Coach, next question for you. What kind of momentum does it give the guys to sweep your rival like Northern Michigan? And do you feel that energy is easy to transfer into the next series, even with the break coming up?
I don't know how much it will transfer. I think performance like that will keep guys hungry going into the break, and keep them energized to get workouts in, to skate a couple of times. But enjoy their family and enjoy their break. I think it can go both ways. We've also seen, and I've seen many times over the years, where you have a huge weekend against a rival team or against a big team, and then the next weekend you're completely flat. So maybe having a good weekend and then having a little time off will avoid that letdown and that kind of laid back practice week where we're not completely focused and ready to play. It could go both ways.
All right, very good. And next question for you, Coach. Could you comment on the penalty shot called on Friday night?
I'm not going to. You know, No, I'm not going to comment on the officiating in any way. The only thing I'll say on that is comments, as I mentioned earlier, I when I do a post, my post-game interviews and things like that with you, I do those, and those comments I make are different than comments I would make to the general media when I come back downstairs and do the press conference and things. Those, my comments are solely intended for our family, for the Husky Nation family. There's tens of thousands, surely, that listen to the games, alumni all over the world, and listen to this show. I mean, what percentage of the Copper Country listens to this radio show every week? A high percentage. What percentage of the Copper Country comes to our games every weekend, whether it be Friday or Saturday, with their families? 25, 30%, 40% of the entire population on any given weekend attends one of our games. This is a tight-knit family, and you know, like this radio show, this is intended strictly for our family, for Michigan Tech. Comments I make other than that, outside of that, are for the general media, newspapers and things. Those are different. So I'm not going to comment on any on the officiating, but I will say that the things I say after a game are meant entirely for our people, our family.
All right. Well, the next question, Coach, actually has you sitting out on this one. This question is for me, believe it or not. I can't believe somebody actually sent a question for me. Who cares what I think? The question is, says for Dirk, during Saturday's broadcast, you mentioned that there were portions of the rink you could not see. I can't imagine that. On the flip side, what are some of your favorite rinks for good sight lines? It was true. There was a blind spot, as we mentioned during the broadcast. And, Coach, you were able to see where I was in a suite at the Barry Event Center. And it made it very difficult to see down to our left on the near side corner. And so you just kind of, I don't want to say you're making up a portion of the game, but you're just maybe assuming or predicting what might be happening down there until that puck finally comes out of the corner. As far as the best sight lines, well, without a doubt, the John McKinnon Student Ice Arena is my favorite rink for the sight lines. It's perfect. The Barry Event Center actually is really good in normal circumstances at the press box there. Even though I'm not a huge fan of the way they have it set up there, it is a really good sight line because you're right on top of the action. And most of the rinks that we are at, with the exception of Huntsville's a million miles in the air, that's a long ways away, and Little Caesars Arena and Joe Louis Arena, were you're a long ways away from the action. But I would say the McGinnis and Bemidji, great sight lines there. That most of them have pretty good sight lines that we get kind of pampered with, I think, with some of the broadcasting perches that we have. So, anyway, I hope that answers your question there. And next question is for Coach. And, Coach, it is, what is your advice for your team when playing against a player like Loughran who plays on and over the edge?
We don't even address it. Like, we don't address it with the players at all. The players can't be focusing on individuals other than talent-based. You know, we have to, okay, make sure that on this situation, the tendency for this person is to do this. This is where they get the majority of their goals. The tendency of this person is to pass first, shoot second. The tendency for this person is to try to walk you on the face-off, and so make sure you're tying up on the draws. But as far as the extra stuff, we don't focus on that. Dirk, I would like to say one thing that people may or may not know. I want to really congratulate Bowling Green on, they went out to Quinnipiac. There'll be very little interconference play this year, and Quinnipiac was ranked like 11 in the country, and Bowling Green went in there and swept them. And that's a really big deal for our league on when we start getting into selecting at-large teams for the national tournament. So I'm going to drop Ty Agner and his staff a note today. I thought those were big games for our league.
Absolutely. And that final on Saturday night, I thought, if I remember right, they had to come back from that.
They were down 2-1.
Yeah, that's right. They were down 2-0 in that first period, or second period. Yeah, you're right. And came back and won by a score of 4-2. We were given scores on that as our game was going along, but we didn't have the final on the air, I think, before we signed off. So, all right, quick break. We'll be back with a final segment here of the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93.
Buck O's Party Store is celebrating the 12 Eves of Christmas with the 12 Packs of Christmas Sale. All 12 packs of bottled beer are on sale. All Pepsi 12-pack cans are 2 for $10. All Coke and Pepsi 2 liters are 2 for $3. Stay hydrated with $1 Lipton Brisks and 28-ounce Powerades. If you're looking for a great gift for a stocking stuffer, pick up some Keweenaw Alpaca gear, sold exclusively at Buck O's. Buck O's also sells snowmobile and trail stickers. All sales do not include taxes and deposits. At Buck O's Party Store in Calumet. Open 7 days a week.
Introducing new Budweiser Nitro Gold. A lager brewed with toasted caramel malt and infused with nitro for a finish as silky smooth as a jazz sax solo. New Budweiser Nitro Gold. So smooth. Available now. Enjoy responsibly. 2020 Anheuser-Busch Budweiser Nitro Reserve Gold Lager. Ale in Texas, St. Louis, Missouri.
You decided to upgrade your outdoor deck. So you ordered the essentials. A power washer, a set of patio chairs, and a shiny new grill. And you used your Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping and up to 5.25% as a preferred rewards member, which you put towards your most essential deck addition. A bird feeder. Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
I'm Dr. Baker, an ER physician. If you're having leg pain, swelling, or redness, but haven't talked to your doctor yet, don't wait. This could be deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot which could travel to your lungs and lead to a pulmonary embolism, which could cause chest pain or discomfort or difficulty breathing and be deadly. Your symptoms could mean something serious, so don't wait. Talk to a doctor right away, by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Welcome back to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. About 5 minutes to go, and Michigan Tech will be off this coming weekend with Christmas, and we'll get set to host the Chargers of Huntsville, who are still looking for their first win. They played some really good games, though. Lake State tied them 2-2 and then lost just by a goal, and played Robert Morris 5-2 and 4-3 losses, and Lance West with the opportunity to be a head coach again down there, and it'll be a couple of weeks till we see them. So a lot can happen with practicing and everything, but looking forward to being home again, coach, for a full weekend of hockey. We want to remind people that that series has been moved from Friday the 1st and Saturday the 2nd to Saturday the 2nd, Sunday the 3rd, and the schedule has been revised on that. But are you looking forward to that weekend, coach?
I am. I'm looking forward. Yeah, I look forward to every weekend. I enjoy watching our team play. I really do. I enjoy the growth in these guys, and so I'm very much looking forward to as much as a break is always welcome, I guess, in some regards. We were really starting to hit a real pace where we were really looking forward to coming to the rink every day. So I'm already looking forward to the guys getting back.
So talk about what they are kind of instructed to do during the break here. I know a lot of them are probably having to stay here with the COVID situation, but you know, what is the situation during the break?
Yeah, there are actually a lot more than you'd think that are staying here because of the seriousness of this and how they're taking it. The first thing is to do the best they can to social distance. We want them to get some workouts in. We want them to get on the ice, take their skates and get on the ice and keep their legs sharp. We also want them to refresh. We want them to spend time with their families, with their parents, with their grandparents, if possible. We want them to spend as much quality time with their families as they can, because that's been so limited, in so many ways in the last, 10, 11 months. So, and then when they come back, a big deal is to have them stay isolated and stay away from each other until we get tested. So we don't want one person to come back and for some reason be non-symptomatic or whatever, and then be transmit it through the group, and then all of a sudden we're missing action and it's setting us back. So we want our guys to stay away from each other as much as possible until, especially if they've been around many other people, until we get back here and get a few tests in, and then we'll get the group together and start skating again.
And it's such a different year. Hey, Coach, and not planning right now to head on down to Detroit and play. I mean, it just, it's very strange.
It is. I sure hope that that doesn't change the GLI. That's been such a, I mean, ever since I was young, we would watch the GLI. And what was the first year of the GLI? Do you know off the top of your head?
Right around 65, I think, somewhere there.
Yeah, because I remember it being my whole life. I remember the Great Lakes Invitational, and I was never part of it until I came here. Watched it, but was never really part of it. And then being part of it, and then seeing the following. Like, I remember that. I still remember that first year going down there, Dirk, and I'm used to going down there with Lake Superior in big playoff series and CCHA championships. And Michigan and Michigan State would, you know, we'd bring everybody from the Sioux down there. They'd all be there watching, but it still was minuscule to Michigan and Michigan State. And then when we went down there, our crowds were the biggest. Michigan Tech crowds from everywhere were the biggest, bigger than Michigan, bigger than Michigan State. So it's just such a great event, and I sure hope that we can get back at that next year.
Well, Coach, we're out of time. We thank you so much for your time today. And I think we'll do some kind of a show next week, right after Christmas as we get ready for the home weekend against Huntsville. But we appreciate it. All of us here at Mix 93 want to wish you and your family, the happiest of holidays and Merry Christmas. And, thanks for everything that you do for us. And we'll look forward to, spending time with family and getting back on the ice soon.
And I feel the same way, Dirk. I want to wish everybody extremely, Laura and I both, and the entire Husky team, want to wish everybody a tremendous Christmas. I want to, all the students, all the high school students who haven't gotten to get their athletics in completely this year. You know, we're thinking of you during this time as well. But I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. And the graduates that have graduated Christmas, great job. Thanks. Make sure you're sending in donations to the program as you go out and make your fortunes. And to all the students coming back, we can't wait to be back with you and can't wait till you get into the rink.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach.